Okay. Anyhow, it's interesting. Yet, because I have been satisfied by the activities of your vow, O goddess Aditi, I must find some means to favor you, for worship of me never goes in vain, but certainly gives the desired result according to what one deserves. Text 18. You have prayed to me and properly worshiped me by performing the great Payavrata ceremony for the sake of protecting your sons. Because of Kashyapa Muni's austerities, I shall agree to become your son and thus protect your other sons. Always thinking of me as being situated within the body of your husband, Kashyapa, go worship your husband who has been purified by his austerity. O lady, even if someone inquires, you should not disclose this fact to anyone. That which is very confidential is successful if kept secret. Shukadeva Goswami said, after speaking this way, the Supreme Personality of God had disappeared from that very spot. Diti, having received the extremely valuable benediction that the Lord would appear as her son, considered herself very successful, and with great devotion she approached her husband. Being situated in a meditational trance, Kashyapa Muni, whose vision is never mistaken, could see that a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead had entered within him. So now we're up to text number 23. So dityam viryam adatta tapasa chira sambritam samahita mana rajan darun yagnim yata nila. Sa Kashyapa Adityam Anta Aditi Viryam Semen Adata placed Lap Tapasa by austerity Chira Sambritam restrained for long, long years. Samahita Manaha, being fully entranced upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rajan, O King, Daruni, as in firewood, Agniam, fire, Yita, as Anila, wind. O King, as the wind promotes friction between two pieces of wood and thus gives rise to fire, Kashyapa Muni, whose transcendental position was fully absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transferred his potency into the womb of Aditi. Purport. A forest fire begins when two pieces of wood rub against one another, being agitated by the wind. Actually, however, fire belongs neither to the wood nor to the wind. It is always different from both. Similarly, here it is to be understood that the union of Kashyapa Muni and Aditi was not like the sexual intercourse of ordinary human beings. Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do with the human secretions of sexual intercourse. He is always completely aloof from such material combinations. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samaham Samabhuteshu, I am equal toward all living entities. Nonetheless, to protect the devotees and kill the demons who are a disturbing element, the Lord entered the womb of Aditi. Therefore, this is a transcendental pastime of the Lord. This should not be misunderstood. One should not think that the Lord became the son of a deity the way an ordinary child is born because of sexual intercourse between man and woman. Here it may be also be appropriate to explain, in these days of controversy, the origin of life. The life force of the living entity, the soul, is different from the ovum and semen of the human being. Although the conditioned soul has nothing to do with the reproductive cells of man and woman, he is placed into the proper situation because of his work. Karna daiva netrena. Life is not, however, a product of two secretions, but is independent of all material elements. As fully described in the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is not subject to, say, any material reactions. He can neither be burned by fire, cut by sharp weapons, moistened by water, nor dried by the air. He is completely different from the physical elements, but by a superior arrangement he is put into these material elements. He is always aloof from material contact. Asango hi yayam purushaha. But because he is placed in a material condition, he suffers the reactions of the material modes of nature. Prakriti purusha prakriti sohi punkte prakriti jangunan. Karna guna sangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. The living entity of the material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature, thus he meets with good and evil amongst the various species. Although the living entity is aloof from the material elements, he is put into material conditions, thus he must suffer the reactions of material activities. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyasyasmi tattvataha tatomam tattvato gyatva vishite tat anantara. That one can understand me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by devotional service. And when one is fully absorbed in such devotion, he can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So the Bhagavatam is, in one sense, it's inconceivable to a conditioned soul because it talks about things that are beyond our perception. How the living entity ourselves remain in the body and not affected by it, that should be at least partly within our perception. Especially since we have memory, we can remember what we were doing, say, yesterday, hopefully. Can you remember what you were doing yesterday? What's that? Yeah. So that's within our capacity. But so we were there yesterday in completely different circumstances, but we were there, but our body has changed. The circumstances have changed. Our present experience is different. But we're the same person who's having an experience in the material world. We're not something material having experience. We're a soul having an experience. Material things don't have experiences. For instance, there's a table on which this camera is placed. And although the camera table is not thinking, I wish you would take off this camera. It's hard to hold this on my head all the time. The table is not having an experience. And if you think the table is having experience, that's just part of your, well, interesting experience. But the floor we're sitting on is not having an experience right now. The floor is not thinking, I wish they'd take their feet off my head. It's hard being a floor. Everyone's always walking all over you. People have no respect for a floor. No, the floor is unconscious. There are things in this world that are unconscious, and even our body is unconscious. The finger is not now looking at you. my finger is not looking at you and waving. My finger is waving. Just to let you know I'm here. No, my hand is, I'm conscious of my hand, but my hand is unconscious. Now, as far as the Supreme Personality of Godhead goes, he's not dependent on a material body. Neither is the soul, but presently our perceptions are depending on material bodies. That unless we can, generally speaking, unless we see through these eyes, we can't see anything. Unless we hear with these ears, we can't hear anything. Unless we smell with this nose, we can't smell anything. But we're neither the nose, nor are we the ears, or are we the eyes. We're simply being covered by them, and therefore our sense of perception is being limited by them. Similarly, we have a mind. So right now our feelings depend upon what state our mind is in. But we're not the mind. Because we can have a happy mind, we can have a depressed mind, but I'm simply a soul experiencing that experience. Now, due to my false ego, I may identify myself as this body, or with my present mental experience, or even my perceptions of things, my conception of things. But these things are simply being supplied to me by the material energy. But I'm different from the material energy. Now, to get out of the material energy, I require some guidance. And that guidance comes from without. Those who are representing Krishna, repeating his words, and also comes from within as the super soul. There is a person talking to us. His name is the super soul. And he's trying to explain to us how to get out of material entanglement. He's like the father instructing his son, or the teacher instructing the student. So the super soul in our heart, he's reminding us what he said in the Bhagavad Gita. It's not a different message, it's the same message. And he's trying to help us become Krishna conscious. Now, we could take the message, or we can reject the message that Krishna is giving us. Therefore, we're called marginal. When we reject the message, then we wind up in the material concept of life. We start identifying ourselves with these, well, we're already identified with these gross and subtle bodies, but then we actually become convinced that I am this body, and everyone else is their body. And I am this mind, and everyone else is their mind. And therefore, I should serve my feelings. I should do something that makes me feel good. I should do something with my body that satisfies my senses, because then I'll be happy. If my body's happy, then I'm happy. And if my body and my mind are unhappy, then I'm unhappy. Now, luckily, Krishna is not subjected to this kind of conditioned life. And therefore, he can be in our heart or in the heart of a pig, but he doesn't become a pig. He doesn't think he's the pig. He doesn't think he's this body. So he's always aloof in all circumstances. Now, for his pastimes, he may do different things, because otherwise it would be a little strange. One day, a deity appears and with a little baby Krishna, and someone says, ask the deity, where did he come from? Oh, he just appeared. Oh, you're right. Ask Kashyapa. Do you know where Aditi got this little child? I have no idea. Oh, really? Very interesting. Anyone you know she's been with lately? So, if Krishna just appeared out of nowhere, it would be a scandal. And Aditi could not claim that Krishna is my son. all she could say is he appeared out of nothing. He disappeared one day. And everyone goes, yeah, right. Maybe out of the void. Yeah, so many things came out of the void. Why couldn't God come out of the void too? Why not? So Krishna has this pastime. When he appears in this world, he accepts parents. Because that's generally what happens. And even in the spiritual world, Krishna has parents. When you ask Mother Jasoda, Nanda Maharaj, in the spiritual world, how did you get Krishna as a son? I don't know if you can ask them that. I don't think they're worried about that. But anyhow, they think, well, Krishna was born. Now, Krishna is never born. He's eternal. But they think he was born. They have that conception. Just like the gopis in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, they have a conception that they're married, although they don't have any husbands there. They have this conception. So they're under the Yogamaya potency. Even Krishna is under the Yogamaya. He actually thinks he's the son of Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj, although none of them can act, because they're eternally the sons. He's the son of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda. Therefore, eternally like that. So they can't think. I don't know if they have a birthday for him in the spiritual world. Here they have a time, a Janmasthami, because when Krishna appears, he appears under certain auspicious circumstances, constellations of stars. Just to set the example, otherwise if Krishna appeared and all his planets were debilitated, then astrology would be set back quite a bit. How is it possible that he appeared and all his planets are debilitated and all of the Vargas, this, and he doesn't appear that he's actually the son of Mother Jasoda or even Devaki. Where did this guy come from? So Krishna appears exactly at a time which is predictable. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chakravati Thakur, Nilambar Chakravati Thakur, he predicted Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance over a year before he appeared, just by studying astrology. He could predict when the Supreme Personality of Godhead would appear. But that doesn't mean that Krishna is forced to appear at that particular time, but Krishna, everything is perfectly arranged for Krishna's appearance. In other words, everything in this world is so perfectly arranged that Krishna can arrange exactly when he's going to appear, and it just fits into everything. It's completely consistent with all the Vedic sciences, with everyone's conception. Everything is so perfectly done that it's inconceivable how perfectly Krishna arranges everything. You may think, well, for fun, why doesn't Krishna disappear in some different time? Well, Krishna is having a lot of fun. He doesn't need any more. He doesn't have to violate all the rules and confuse everyone. He has a purpose in this material creation to get people to understand that this world is created and maintained and annihilated under his direction. And if you start to violate his own rules and regulations, which he sometimes does, in inevitable circumstances, then people get confused. Therefore, Krishna appears like an ordinary child, although he's not an ordinary child. He appears that this is a ordinary conception, but Krishna is never entering into the womb of a mother like an ordinary child, unconscious for 9 months, and then he wakes up and wonders where he is. Krishna never loses its consciousness. Nor does he think, now I've taken birth, where am I? Google, Google. No, when Krishna takes birth, he's fully conscious. And he knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing. From the even before he takes birth, he knows exactly what the whole plan is, because he's arranged it all. It's not that when he's in the womb of Aditi, he's lost consciousness, and who knows how the universe is going to go on. God is bewildered right now. No, it's not like that at all. Krishna is always in every atom, anyone who's in every atom can't get bewildered. Could you imagine being in every atom in this room? Of course, we can't imagine that. It'd be too confusing for our little brains to try to imagine such a thing. Seeing everything from unlimited points of view. So only Krishna can actually do that, could have that capacity. Not only this little tiny room that we're in, but all of Ljubljana, Krishna is in every atom. And then not only Ljubljana, in all of Slovenia. Not only Slovenia, all of Europe. Every atom in this planet, in every ocean, all of Bhumandala, the whole universe, all the universes. So to think that Krishna is an ordinary person, appearing like an ordinary person, therefore Krishna says, avijananti mamhudha manushim tanum ashityam parambhava majanato mamabhuta maheshram. That the fools, they ride me at my descending in a human-like form, they don't know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all the being. So Krishna's activities are inconceivable, and we should try simply to appreciate them. That if Krishna can help Aditi and Kashyapa and the demigods get back their kingdom, he can surely help us go back to the spiritual world if we want his help. Now Aditi manifested her desire to get help from Krishna by performing the Payavrata ceremony. And we manifest our desire to get help from Krishna just by trying to stay awake during a class. That's all we have to do. We don't have to do the Payavrata ceremony. We just have to try and stay awake during class. And Krishna will manifest his, give us his help, how to make some progress towards him. Because otherwise there's no hope. There's no way of understanding Krishna with our tiny little brain. And there's not much we can do in order to show how powerful or sincere we are. But we can simply try to hear about him, try to accept, understand what we've heard, try to appreciate what we've heard, and to the best of our abilities, accept and try to see what it matters in my life, especially what my mood and devotional service will be for today or tomorrow or in the future. Understanding that if I get Krishna's protection, he'll tell me what to do and how to do it, how to see things properly, so that I can remain aloof from the conditioned life of due to my conditioned life, due to my neglecting Krishna since time immemorial. But if we can somehow or another accept Krishna's guidance as a super soul within, and his guidance from without, his Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, then we can know something what to do during the day and make this day more auspicious than yesterday was. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. I wanted to ask, we are somehow aware and we understand in some point these things about Krishna pastimes and how small we are, but it seems that there are some interruptions in way of acting.
Well, like, as long as there's just some, you're doing quite well.
How can we maintain this conscious
of Krishna consciousness? Well, practice. Everything we do requires some practice. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asked him the same question, that how can I control my restless mind, which is just like the wind. So Krishna says, Asamshayam Mahabaho, Manodun Nigraham Chalam, Abhyasena Dukuntiya, Vairagena Chakriyate. Is that undoubtedly difficult to curb the restless mind, Arjuna? It is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. So we have to do sadhana bhakti suitably and do our service devotionally with care and attention and become gradually detached from these ideas that are entering into our mind. is only due to our attachment to these ideas that we maintain them in the mind. So the main thing is to get a higher taste and therefore not take so seriously all these conceptions that are passing through our mind, all these ideas. And as they go, we become aloof from them, then they'll just go away. It takes time. We have to be patient. Hear patiently from the right source with the right attitude, and then develop confidence. Otherwise, one of the problems we have is we're always doubtful. How can there be a spiritual world? How could Krishna be God? How could I live forever in full bliss and knowledge? I don't deserve it. I should stay here and suffer because that's what I deserve. So Maya is always trying to discourage us. So we have to develop confidence that if I take shelter of Krishna through his representatives and the super soul in the heart, then I can actually make progress and go back eventually to the spiritual world and live forever in full bliss and knowledge. The what? Ethereal. Oh, I have no idea. Ethereal means space. So I don't, we have a heart. Usually it takes up some space. But an ethereal heart? I don't know. Anyone know what ethereal heart is? Where did that come from? Well, that's what are they? What's that? Okay, I don't know what an ethereal heart. I hardly know what the gross heart is. Okay. Anyhow, if they find out, they can come back and let us know. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.